Live from the KDLM studios in the heart of Detroit Lakes, it's time for Hodgepodge.
Good morning. Welcome into Hodgepodge on a Monday, March 3rd. I'm Joel Koepke.
And I'm Trish Johnson.
In our opening segment this morning, we've got author and life coach with us, Dana Chase. In our second segment, Lisa's going to join us from Mojave Atma, but Dana Chase joins us this morning. Dana, good morning. Thanks for being with us today on Hodgepodge.
Thank you.
It is exciting to have you here because this is a situation that none of us are not touched by now. In just a little bit of background, Dana came in because you are having this Women's Enlightened Retreat March 7th through the 9th here in DL. But you brought your book in, and In Spite of Heroin is
yes.
The book. And I didn't read The Paradox of Terror and Hope, but let me just read you something from that really caught my attention. Do you want to just give folks like a brief what brought this about for you to write a book and now to be going forward with it?
Sure. It really started with a whisper, which, as I describe my intuition, is a huge theme in the book that carries me through. And since I was in my early 20s, I started getting this whisper from my intuition that someday you're going to write a book. And it never made sense to me because I didn't have anything to write about. And writing a book is an extreme amount of work. So it didn't appeal to me for that reason as well.
Different. It's fiction or nonfiction. And this is opening you up raw.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely bled my soul onto those pages, for sure.
Yeah, a little bit of background. You were from the North Dakota area,
mm-hmm.
Married and living in this area, leaning the Northwest, and you have twin sons. Can you walk me through what happened?
Yes, in the book, I am married. Yep, I am no longer. But my identical twin sons were born in 1992.
They were born in 1992, and what happened that now that changed your whole life?
We raised our kids like everyone else we knew was raising theirs, and different results occurred, unfortunately, and they started to descend into the hellscape of addiction in their late teens. And the book is what they call narrative nonfiction. It portrays 2 years in which they were descending into the hell of heroin addiction, and the book is not about their lifestyle and following them around as to what they were doing. This is the mother's story. This mm-hmm. is how I managed despair and sustained hope.
Yeah, well, that's the part that's scary. A couple of things that I read in the beginning. You were talking about reducing emotional and spiritual clutter so you make room for better things to come, because if you don't make that room, getting rid of the things that are bothering you in your head, you can't go forward. So you said, I believe the best way to get what you want is to help someone get what they want.
Absolutely.
What do you mean?
What I mean by that is when you're struggling, it's easy to get caught in your own struggle mm-hmm. and not see beyond what the purpose might be. And I think oftentimes our struggles are meant to bring us experiences that we can give back to others. What occurred as a result of this experience and how it might help other people. So
does it make you mad that you had to live through all of this and now, because of your experience, you can help others? But is there any part of you that's like, but why? No, why me? Why?
For a long time, it was why me, because it was so contrary to their upbringing and it just made no sense. But in chapter 24 is when I have kind of the epiphany. I'm had a beautiful day with my extended family on Pelican Lake and mm-hmm. But I'm there alone. My kids aren't with me, and their dad was working out of town. And at that point in time, the why me was like, seriously, this is making no sense. I'm doing everything I can to save my children, and nothing is working. And what came to me is that whisper I was talking about, that voice returned and said, this happened for a reason. The four of you came into this lifetime experience collectively, agreeing that you would have this experience and that you, Dana, would write the book. So that whisper that I was getting, like, that persisted over decades, and it never made any sense to me. Now the message is, this is the book. This is a story. You just had to live it first. So when I came into this understanding that this was like divinely orchestrated, our family willingly, as souls, before we came into this lifetime, agreed to have this experience So I would write the book and that it would help other people.
Does that, do you find when you're talking with other people about this, that that knowledge or that knowing that it is about the bigger picture, longer, that that's the way that, the only way you can make something make sense of this. You talked about you raised them and did not raise them to be, and I think there's a lot of parents that we didn't, and what did we do wrong and how do we fix this now?
Guilt.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And shame. And
yep.
What I did know, though, is that I never believed it was my fault. And part of the reason I did survive, like when I go to the very core of my being, like, because this portrays 2 years, it's been over 12 years that I've lived with the possibility that I'm going to be planning a funeral next week, because the intensity of the experience is with drugs, you can die like that.
Yep.
With alcohol, it's a slow burn process. But with drugs, it's really frightening because one step back into it could be
the last one,
the worst. So when I pare it down to, like, if I can just say the one thing that got me through it is that I was born with a sense of self-worth. I've never questioned my worth. Mm. I've always had a really healthy level of self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And if I didn't have that foundation, there is no way I would have survived this emotionally, spiritually, or any other way. And so a big part of my platform now is having workshops specifically for women so they can learn more about attaining a higher level of self-confidence, because it benefits anyone. I mean, when you just say that fact, it's a workshop on raising your self-confidence. Every woman out there fills in the blank of, I know how I suffer because of low self-esteem, and I know how greater self-esteem could help me. I mean, almost every woman knows that in their head without, like, putting out bullet points. And so now that the book has been discovered, it was published, self-published in 2016, and as a self-published author, you can only take it so far with funding and publicity that. So I got it as far as I could go, and then I just had to let go of it. And I was disappointed because I wanted it to get to a larger audience than the people that love me and some of their friends, because I know it can help other people. And so in November, just this past November 19th, is when a director out of Ontario, Canada, his team found the book on Amazon.
A film director we're talking about, right? Okay.
Yeah, his team found the book, and part of what their company does is search for, like, indie authors, you know.
Oh, okay.
Undiscovered authors that were self-published, so they're not in the mainstream. They're looking for this type of story because the next buying season for production companies is going to be true story, family drama, redemption, overcoming. That's the theme coming into the next season of producers. So that's why he put in a full page in the Hollywood Reporter.
Of you. It's a great picture, too.
Thank you. And the whole purpose is he's putting that cue out to production companies that the screenplay is being written and it's going to be ready to purchase late this summer.
The journey from despair to hope is such a long journey. And I think most of the folks, you don't plan to go through this. Nobody really predicts it's going to happen. You get blindsided.
Absolutely.
And then your foundation's gone. Everything you know up till then. You write in the end of chapter 8, you went from me from joy weighing me down, or I could choose to leave it at the foot of my bed and remain available to the blessings each day might offer. I had come to view my plight as despair management. Just as some people deal with chronic physical pain, I had to manage chronic emotional pain. I think that's beautiful because that really does describe it.
Absolutely.
Before we run out of time, let's do a few more details for the retreat. It's March 7th through the 9th. And you're holding at the Lodge on Lake Detroit?
Yes, the Lodge on Lake Detroit.
I've never been there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And make it a point to step into that magnificent hotel. It's just phenomenal. But I will also be at Engage at the Holmes Art Cellar tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Okay.
To just talk about intuition, my journey as an author and as a mother. So if people are thinking about the retreat and they're wondering if it would have value for them, it's all on my website, DanaChaseAuthor.com.
C-H-A-S-E.
Yep.
I'll put a link to it on. But I'm sorry, I know I have to wrap this up. I just want to make sure that people know that your whole go, just go and listen. Just go and listen, because despair is a deep and ugly and painful and private thing.
Right. And it's a very interactive retreat. This is about helping others, not about talking about me or presenting my issues.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to do this.
Oh, appreciate it.
Yeah. Not much.
I'm very proud of you, but they also, this is a tough one. So thank you for doing that.
We're going to take a break. When we come back on HodgePodge, we're going to chat with Lisa from Mojave Atwa. Stay tuned. HodgePodge continues right after this. Welcome back into HodgePodge here on Monday in our second segment this morning. We've got Lisa with us from Mojave Atwa. It's always a pleasure to chat with Lisa on a monthly basis. Lisa Stroshoff, good morning. Thanks for being with us today on HodgePodge.
Good morning.
Did you hear the forecast for today?
I am ready to just call into work the rest of the day.
Too late. They already know you're here. So.
Well, but then when I go home, maybe we could just have a little picnic in the park between our places.
Yes.
So as you leave today, you just kind of go.
Feeling really ill. I picked something up at the radio station?
Yeah. Of course. Everybody uses the same mic.
That's right. Blame us.
We got your back.
Blame us. Many, if not everybody's got those lovely little documents back from the IRS called the W-2. And many people are like, wow, I should probably get cracking on this. You guys are still doing your tax preparation stuff, correct?
We are in full swing. Tax deadline is April 15th. If you are getting money back, you don't technically need to file by April 15th.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask, because there's the two thought processes, right? I'm not going to get anything back, so I'm going to wait till the very last day. Then there's a go, I know I'm getting a return back, so I'm not going to sweat it, and I'll get it back whenever. So you don't have to file by the 15th.
If you're getting money back.
All right.
The IRS does not necessarily want to give out that money any sooner than they have to, but they want their money on time.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
So if you owe or you're not sure, make sure you are filing your taxes by end of day on April 15th.
And do the Earned Child Credit for Minnesota.
Yes, if you qualify, there's lots of child tax credits for Minnesota. One of the big things we've been getting questions on this year is there used to be something called the Minnesota Renters Rebate.
Yes.
That
the rent checks.
Still there.
The rebate checks,
it's great.
Yep.
However, now it is actually part of your Minnesota return, and it is a credit.
Uh-huh.
So it's a renter's credit.
They used to send those like in August, right?
Yes.
Didn't
right.
We used to get them in like August?
Yep.
Yeah.
So see,
every
now,
radio guy knows about the renter check, because that's all we've ever had is rental
great.
Properties.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know because...
You want your rent?
I
yep.
want...
Rebate.
Yeah.
Now credit.
I haven't gotten the form from the landlords for at least 12 years.
Yes.
It doesn't get in there, but you kind of... Yeah. So we got the rental credit.
So it's a credit. You file it as part of your Minnesota taxes now. Same thing, if you are getting money back, if that's the only thing you're claiming, you don't have to have it done by April 15th. That's not an issue. Just, I mean, we don't want people like, oh no, I need to file actual taxes. Yes and no. It's still a Minnesota form. We do it alongside of that Minnesota return. As long as you're getting money back, you don't have to worry about it. But people call in looking for that Minnesota renter's credit.
Yep.
It's now a it's not a rebate, it's a credit.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to ask you this because it does happen, and I've been audited. Have you ever been audited, Trish?
Mm-mm.
Lisa?
Nope.
No.
I never made any money.
I just
going
to set myself out there. But when audits do happen, the IRS contacts you and says, hey, we got some questions about one of these tax returns. And so what should people do when they get that initial phone call from the IRS and go, hey, we don't think this is should they panic? Should they call you? What should they do?
Well, one, nobody's going to call you. The IRS will never call. So if IRS is calling or texting, that is a scam.
Thank you. I was just going to bring that up. Really?
I was just about to extend my car's warranty, too.
Nope. Sorry. Okay. Don't pay the toll fees either. I've been getting
that
text message.
So how do they contact you?
They will only send you a letter.
Oh, see, we're learning something every day.
If the IRS is reaching out to you, it will only be by letter unless you initiate a call to them and you're requesting a call back situation.
Yep.
But they will only notify you of any issues or questions via letter. There's always like a number on there, like reach us. This is how you ask questions. One of the things when people call us and they're like, I don't know what to do. Minnesota Legal Services has a low income taxpayer assistance clinic. So a lot of the people that we help fall into that category, and we refer them over to this free service where essentially they have a lawyer on staff that specifically helps just walk people through these things. So we make a lot of referrals there. It's kind of a really great part of VITA in the volunteer income tax that we can have those connections and know where to direct people.
Oh, that's interesting. But you can't know whether you're getting something back or not if you don't do the form. So
exactly.
We can't, I know I'm going to get some back.
And how long is it? 7 years? Is that the recommended you're supposed to keep your receipts?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do people actually keep their receipts for 7 years?
Well, I'm going to say I do.
Okay, again, because I know I got plenty of boxes in my storage show that are labeled 2010, 2011.
Throw those ones away.
Yeah.
It is
the 7 years out is what you should keep.
I would say they're not really. I mean, usually they're pretty quick at catching those things, especially if it's in their favor. They're going to know. but it doesn't hurt to keep things. Otherwise, if you get audited and if they're going back, then you have to come up with that proof, and that's on you. So
And that's when the stress starts, folks.
That's when the stress starts.
It is. It's stressful.
A couple other topics we wanted to touch on. It's National Nutrition Month, and what do you guys do with – you have a nutritionalist, right?
So we have a registered dietitian.
Oh, even better.
They are not the same.
Nutritionalist?
And I always get them
– okay.
I always get them goofed up, so I made sure that she told me exactly what her role was this morning.
All right.
But it is National Nutrition Month. Our nutritionist specializes in Head Start. She's the one that's in charge of making sure the kids are getting all their healthy foods, if there's any allergies, all of those sorts of things. She's in charge of all of that for all of our Head Start sites, so she's got a big job. But on Nutrition Month, she does a little bit of extra fun in educating us and all of the staff at Mojave Atwa. We post some things on our Facebook page, so you can check that out. And we do a little thing called Fact or Fiction. And I want to see if you guys can get the answer to this one.
Ooh,
I feel like our game show segment. Okay, what do we got for us?
So, the serving size listed on the nutrition facts labels reflects the amount that a person should eat or drink. Fact or fiction?
Fiction, because I'm never following those guidelines. I mean, I should, but I probably didn't.
It is fiction. They reflect how much people tend to consume. It's really? Not actually the recommended serving
that's
size.
That's a good one.
See, you learned something new today.
Okay,
courtesy
to
of
that.
Our registered dietitian.
And I did not know before. I don't know if you know this, Joel, too, but the nutrition, what kids are taking in, is vital to their brain development. And you're running into these households where, you know, it's processed food. There's not, and it's usually just to feed them. But then that means they go to school and their brain is slower and they usually have more fatigue. It's really important that kids, especially elementary age, that they have proper nutrition.
What? Bug juice and Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
Come on.
Yeah.
And one of the really cool things that our nutritionist is doing this year, our dietitian, excuse me, is she's partnering with our garden that we have at Mojave Atwa, our community garden. And the kids will actually be starting some of our plants. So they'll be starting from seed as a classroom project so that those plants will then get transplanted outside to our garden for the summer.
We are really taking this farm to school thing seriously.
Yeah. That's right. We really are. Well, that's great.
Okay.
Is there anything else you want to mention on Nutrition Month?
No, I think just really... just watch our Facebook page. We'll be posting little questions and tips all month long. So, you know, if you want to
test Joel's mark,
test on your trivia.
Sure.
We're the place.
We like those kinds of games.
And March is also National Social Workers Month, correct?
It is.
How can we thank a social worker? Like, what would a social worker feel like? I'm so glad they gave me this. Now I know they care.
You know what? Really? So social workers are everywhere. And that's something that I don't think people realize is social work is something that can be so diverse. I myself am a social worker. I've worked in places like the nursing home. I've worked in hospice. And now I'm at a community action. But social workers are at the hospitals, the clinics, rehab units. They're everywhere. And really the biggest thing is we just want people to know that we're there as a resource. And whether that's the person or the family, really our big job is to just be a resource and to help people walk the path that they're on without judgment.
And
so,
to walk that path with somebody, it's terrible when, you know, and if they're this has just been a morning with this that thank you for meeting a social worker.
Yes,
yeah,
Lord
thanks
knows
everybody
we need
there.
It.
So thanks, I just really want
to. Hats off to our nutritionists, to our social workers.
Would you like people to drop off chocolate?
No.
What can we do?
I just, just thank a social worker if you know one. And I've got a lot of good friends out there that are social workers. So if you're listening, happy Social Work Month.
We've got a whole month to celebrate now.
We get a whole month because we're not very good at taking care of ourselves. How about that?
That resonates deep. And yeah. I think everybody listening, I should take some time for myself. But I got stuff to do.
Yep.
The list
never ends.
Again, I want to go to the garden.
You. You want to do what?
I want to go to the garden. I want a garden.
Well, there's nothing out there right now.
Okay.
I was thinking like the Boston garden. I'm like, man, you're going to have to leave soon.
Of course. So. He goes right to sports.
Right. Lisa, thanks for your time with us today. We look forward to talking to you coming up again here in the month of April.
Month of April.
Yeah, hard to believe.